not like. Good morning, church. It is so good to see you. I want to share a story. There's a boy named Jason. He wanted something for Christmas, very specific something, and he wanted a PlayStation 5. Now, a couple of years ago, if you wanted to get a PlayStation 5, you almost had to like sell your right arm for one of those, right? And so he wanted this, and he was so excited about it. And he started like praying about this and thinking about it. And he then started thinking, I wonder if my parents already got it for me. And so he like went up into his parents' closet and started looking around for it. And he didn't see it. And then he went underneath their bed and there was a Best Buy bag there. Now don't, all of you who are younger, don't do this. Parents, we have to do a better job at hiding gifts. Well, he went in there and he looked into it and there it was, a PS5. And he was so excited about this. And he was like, I am a little nervous that my parents are going to come home, so I'm just going to leave it there. Well, the next day, that's all he could think about at school was this PS5 that was underneath of his parents' bed. And so what did he do? Came home from school and he went underneath of there and he pulled out the PS5 and he looked at the box and he's like, I wonder if I could play it. Well, he's like, I can't do it right now. He put it back under. The next day came, he went, and he's like, I'm going to play this thing. So he goes in there, and he peels back very carefully the tape that's on the side of the box. You know what I'm talking about? Peels back the tape, and he pulls it out, and he plugs it into the TV. And for 10 whole minutes, he played this game, right? He played this console. And it was nice, but, you know, he started to panic because his parents could come home at any minute, right? And so he put it back in there, and he put it away, and he put it back underneath his parents' bed, the best that he could do. And so the next day, and for about 2 weeks after that, he would go upstairs. As soon as he got home, he would take out the bag, take out the PS5, hook it up to the TV, and play. And he would play longer and longer and longer and longer. And it got to the point where the last time he did this, he could hear his parents coming in the driveway, and he quickly unhooked everything, put it all back in the box, and threw it underneath the bed just before they could get home. And he was like panicked about that. Well, Christmas morning came, and you can imagine, you know, he underneath the tree was this box, you know, that he had seen a dozen times before, and he opened it up, and it was kind of like, okay. See, he had already seen the gift, right? He already knew it was coming, and wasn't that excited about it because he knew what was going to be, and he deemed that that was his worst Christmas gift, Christmas ever, because he kind of knew what was coming. Now, I don't know about you all. I have done that same thing. Anybody with me? Oh, like two people. The rest of you are all liars, right? But no, seriously, I mean, you go in, and I would do this. I would go into my parents' bedroom, into their closet, and I would see the gifts, and I'd see the one labeled Brian, and I would take out an X-Acto knife. I knew exactly what I was doing, and I would cut the little corners where the tape would be, and I would open it up. I'm giving you all details, Christopher, details on what to do. And you do that, and you pull it out, and you see what's in it, and you're so excited, and it's awesome, right? Well, except for the fact is, on Christmas morning, you already know what you got, and so it's just kind of like, whatever. You know, we like that anticipation, don't we? We want that anticipation in our life. We want to wait for what is coming, okay? And we've all done this thing where we kind of jump ahead to the end of the story. I mean, how many of you read the last chapter in a book, right? Because you want to know how it ends. Or how many of you skip through the boring parts of the movie because you want to know how it ends, right? I mean, we do this from time to time, right? Because we like to know what the end of the story is. We like to know the final word. We don't like to sit in the middle of it, do we? No, so we do things to kind of move us in that direction. You know, Pastor Rob last week, he said something really profound for me. He said, don't rush the wait. And I took that with me all week long this past week. Don't rush the wait. Don't rush into things. Don't rush those moments where God is calling you just to be patient in the midst of it. Don't rush that waiting period. And I don't know about you, but I have this hope, this desire for what is to come, but I want to get there. I want to be there now. And And we're not to rush those moments. So how do we handle that? How do we handle those moments where we're just kind of sitting in the kind of the muck and the mire, and we're just waiting for what's next? See, I really believe that we are to live life on tiptoes. Live life like we're getting ready to fall into something. Live life like something's almost here, but we just got to anticipate that and be excited for those moments. I don't know, it's kind of like when you're starting off on a race, right? And you're at the starting blocks and you're just waiting in anticipation for that gun to sound off. Or perhaps it's your first kiss, right? And you're just kind of ready to lean in and you're wondering, are they going to kiss me back, right? And that anticipation in your heart starts to beat a little bit faster and your hands get sweaty and you're starting to wonder that. Or maybe when you ask somebody to marry them or when you're getting ready to have your first child, it's all of those moments that kind of build up in you this sense of anticipation of something to come. It's kind of like you're leaning in, you're standing on your tiptoes ready for something to happen. And I think that's what Simeon in our scripture today, what we're going to learn, what he must have been feeling, living life on the tiptoes, ready for something to happen. So turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 25 through 35. And this is what it says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was a righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child in, when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus in to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared for this in the presence of all the peoples, and light of the revelation to the Gentiles for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for the sign that is opposed. And the sword will pierce your own soul too, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It was about 40 days after Jesus was born, that Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem. And they were there because for those in the Jewish faith, they needed to follow the law and to be cleansed. And so they went to Jerusalem and to give an offering to the Lord. And Mary and Joseph, you know, they went and they bought two doves in order to do that. And it was the least that they could purchase because they didn't have much money. And my guess is that Simeon was probably waiting in the temple courts, just kind of anticipating what was going to happen. And as he kind of waited, he probably looked at each one of them, every day for so long, waiting for Christ to come. And Mary and Joseph brought in their sacrifice. They laid it down. And I cannot even imagine what Simeon must have been thinking as the Spirit prompted something in him to say, those were the people that I need to connect with. And as he looked over, I'm sure he was like, yeah, no, not those two and that baby. There's no way, God, that it's going to be them. It's not going to be a baby. I can imagine him kind of swallowing his own prideful thoughts or maybe his own judgmental thoughts and saying, I mean, they're so poor. I mean, they only afforded a couple of doves. I mean, it can't be them, right? Surely not. And God said, yes, they are, but don't call me Shirley. No, that's, sorry. That was for Brian alone. I apologize for that. But they said that he was a devout man, a righteous man. And so he looked over there and he said, that must be them. And after years of waiting, hope arrived in a form of a tiny child. And so Simeon went over, the Spirit leading him over there. He went over and he swooped up Jesus in his arms. Now, can you imagine what Mary might have been thinking at this moment? I mean, what you doing with my baby? I mean, come on now. I mean, this is a tender moment that Simeon is having because he felt in his heart that he needed to do this, that this was the Lord's Christ. And so he goes over there and he swoops Jesus up in his arms and he's holding him and he's saying all of these wonderful, powerful, prophetic things right to Jesus as his parents are standing there and everyone is around and he's holding him for the first time, knowing what would become of this baby boy. And so for a few moments here this morning, I want us to take a look at Simeon's waiting and what we can learn in the midst of that. I think one of the things that we can learn this Christmas season as we move towards Christmas is that God's promises are always fulfilled. God is the ultimate promise keeper. He knows exactly what's going on. And one of the things I think we need to keep in mind is that even in the midst of our circumstances, God is already on the mountaintop while we are in the valley saying, I know what's over on this other side of the mountain. And this is the promises that I have for you. You just need to endure what you're enduring right now just for a moment, and you're going to get there. He always does what he says. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's impossible for God not to do what he promises to do because he would be lying and God can't lie. So anytime God promises something throughout Scripture, anytime he knows he's going to fulfill that. And Simeon acknowledges this. In verse 26, it reads this. It says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon would not have died until Jesus had come. And once that promise was fulfilled, right, and he was released. And the word here really is, it means about like a slave being released from his master, right? Total freedom. And so Simeon was kind of bound in this moment of time and time again, looking through the gate as people walked in. And as soon as he saw Jesus, he was released from this moment so that he could celebrate the Lord's Christ. It was a freedom of being released from this faithful service time and time and time again. But not only did God promise Simeon about this, that we too would be free, that we too can understand the promise. Friends, this is a promise that we also have been waiting for. Right? I believe there are people in their lives that know that there's something coming, that there's a promise that has been given to them, a hope that has been given to them, and it's something that is so vitally important. And I believe, friends, if you understand that God's promises are always kept, then you can trust that even in the midst of the difficulty that you are going through, that you know that God will always come through in the end. And so sometimes we have to wait, like Simeon waited. But we don't like to wait, do we? No. We don't like to wait. I was telling people just yesterday this happened. I was at a soccer tournament with my daughter, Kaden. It was over in Philadelphia. There was about 50 teams in this soccer tournament. It was in one little area. And so there's probably, you know, you have 50 teams with 18 players on each team with like parents pulling cars up and everything like that. And there's like 1,000 cars there. And we were like the last game. And so like, well, there's just a ton of cars there. And I tried to pull out and I waited for 40 minutes to get out of this parking lot that had one lane out. I'm not bitter at all about this. Still worked up. But I had to wait so long. And I was like, please just put me at the beginning of the line. Let me get out of here. But we all do that, don't we? You know, and we always say, you know, you stand in line at the grocery store and you're waiting, or you're standing in traffic and you're waiting. But it's more than that. There's something spiritually wrong with us that we cannot wait and we cannot be patient. Those that wait upon the Lord, right, shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles, right? There is a moment where we have to realize that waiting is not a bad thing. But we love to rush to the end. And it says right here, up there, that God's timing is best, right? Not our timing. And Luke informs us that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, right? And he's waiting for this moment. And the word consolation means comfort by way of encouragement. And he's saying Simeon was waiting for this comfort for all people. He was waiting for this encouragement for all people, right? Yeah. The message of salvation that had come to Simeon was recognized in this baby boy being presented to the temple. The great comfort of the gospel is that in our present distress over the consequences of sin, Christ has come to rescue us. And not just some of us, all of us. Amen, church? So often we fight against that process of waiting. We fight against what is to come. But friends, waiting is not only necessary, it's good. I mean, look at these scriptures up here, right? It says in Lamentations, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, right? For those who wait for God, they experience his salvation in times of trouble, it says in Isaiah 32:33. Waiting on the Lord renews their strength so we can soar like on the wings like eagles. That's what Pastor Rob preached about last week on Isaiah 40. Obedient waiting is a pathway to inherit God's blessing, Psalms 37 says. Waiting is intimately linked with answered prayer, Psalms 38 says, and Micah 7 says. It's difficult to wait on the Lord, and I don't know about what you're waiting for today. It might be painful and frustrating. It might be something that is hurting you. It might be something exciting that you're waiting for it to come. But yes, we are called to wait in the midst of this because, friends, guess what? If we wait for something and we try and usher in what we're waiting for, we are going to miss the more tremendous blessings that God has for us. If we try and push our waiting, we are going to miss what God has for us because what we want is not as good as what God wants. And it might be good for now, but it's not going to be the best that God has in store for you. Don't rush the wait. See, Simeon was like Mary and Joseph. He was waiting on not his time, but on God's time. He was waiting to be blessed. He was waiting to see Jesus. And why is that so important? Because I believe God is going to do anything to be in a relationship with you. God is willing to do anything to be in a relationship with you, friends. And sharing these words with Mary and Joseph, Simeon acknowledges God's mighty and wonderful work, that he is going to exalt some and he's going to humble others. There's going to be conflict in the midst of Jesus being here. His ultimate sacrifice, though effective in canceling the debt of sin, will become a stumbling block for the Israelites, and it'll become foolishness to the Gentiles, right? It'll be hearts will be laid bare for everybody to see. Mary's tiny bundle of joy, right, given to God by the world, to the world, will be rejected, right? He will be stricken. He will be crucified. He will be broken for our transgressions, friends. He'd become a stumbling block that would cause divisions for decades to come. Simeon had gone from the herald of good news, of wonderful news, to a prophet in the rejection and death of Christ. And I can only imagine the tears of Simeon. It was not just about the joy of seeing Christ, which was amazing, but it's also the sorrow of what was to come. Joy of celebrating that the Messiah had come, but the sorrow of knowing why he had to come in the first place. People did not expect this. They didn't expect Jesus to come as a baby. They expected somebody triumphant. A king on a horse, you know, coming to usher in, not this lowly son of a carpenter born in a stable. They expected a ruler of a country heralded by trumpets, right? Not of babies whose parents can't afford the lamb sacrifice. Sung to by an old man, Simeon knew the cost. He knew it. And he says this, Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, behold, this child appointed for the fall, the rising of many Israel, and for a sign of the oppressed, a sword will pierce her own soul too, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. He knew this is what was going to happen. It's tough to talk about this during Christmas because we always want to rush to the end and celebrate Jesus being born. But I don't believe we can truly celebrate Jesus being born unless we understand why he had to come. And he had to come because I'm a broken, fallen person in need of a Savior. I'm a sinner, friends, that needs a Savior. And God was willing to do everything he possibly could so that I could be in a relationship with him. So yes, his son came in a cradle and went to a cross. His son came as a baby, sinless and blameless all the way, and he took my sins upon that cross so that I be white as snow in front of the creator of the universe. It's tough to listen to that. I'm sure as Simeon was sharing that with Mary and Joseph, it was tough for them to hear that as well. That they would cause, Jesus would cause the rise and the fall of so many in that moment. Do you have hope for this kind of Jesus? Do you have hope that at the end of the story, you know God's will be done? Do you have hope that even in the midst of what you might be going through right now, whether it's the lowest of lows or the highest of highs, that your patience and the waiting actually means something in the end? Friends, I want us to anticipate something miraculous happening this season. And we talk about this all the time, right? I mean, every single year at this time, we talk about waiting, waiting. Why are we waiting? Well, we're waiting because we understand the end of the story. But if we don't sit in the middle of the story and acknowledge who we are in the midst of the story, then the waiting is for nothing. We've already gone underneath our parents' bed and opened up the present and know what it is. But perhaps, just for a moment, just for these last 2 weeks, we can just take a deep breath and we stop thinking about Christmas the way the world wants us to think about Christmas. We just take a deep breath and we recognize that the Lord is coming in flesh, in blood, the greatest person, the greatest present any of us could ever hope for. And that's the present we get to unwrap this Christmas. I want us to hope that, to expect that, to jump for that, to stand on our tiptoes and anticipate that, because I believe that Jesus is coming to bring peace, not just peace to our lives or our family or our community, our church, but I believe he wants to bring life fully full of peace, not just here, but eternally. And he's doing that, not just for anybody, he's doing that for you. Let's pray. God, I celebrate you and I thank you for this gift that you have given to us. That in the temple so long ago, there stood a man who was just waiting for the consolation of Israel, the encouragement and the comfort of Israel. God, I believe we are waiting for that even in our own lives right now. That we are waiting for that comfort, for that encouragement. So God, we know that is found in Jesus. We know what that means. And God, I just pray that we can get there sooner. That our hearts will be so focused on what it means to be in the midst of this, that we don't rush so fast to get to the end of it, that we can just be here in the midst of it and just dwell in your presence, God. May your spirit mold and shape us to not be so eager to get to the end, but to be equipped and trained and guided and empowered and, yes, comforted by your Spirit during the times of waiting. May we have hope for that. May we anticipate that. May we stand on tiptoes and lean into that this season. For we pray this in the name of the one who gives us life, gives us love and gives us, yes, shalom, peace. Jesus the Christ. Amen.